Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I am merely your host, Mike Salmon, alongside a man that is, well, too big for words, Stephen Julian, my co-host. Hey there, Stephen.
Hi, Mike. I'm working on that. I'm trying to eat less, so, you know. And if you're merely a host, then I guess that means I'm nearly a host.
No, I'm trying to. I'm actually building you up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm not used to that.
Well, get used to it. I want to take care of you from now on.
Well, and ditto, Mike.
And I also want to take care of our guest today. Two wonderful guests in the studio with us here at Gwinnett Business Radio from the Gwinnett Center, Bill Blackwell, and from Leading Concepts Group, Jess Viegas. Want to welcome both our guests. We're going to start with Bill this morning. Bill, welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio.
Thank you, Mike.
Tell us all about, first of all, the Gwinnett Center and what your position is over there.
Well, the Gwinnett Center is a campus that includes the arena at Gwinnett Center, which is a 13,000-seat facility. We also have the Convention Center with a 50,000-square-foot exhibit hall, 20,000-square-foot grand ballroom, 23 meeting rooms for meetings of all sorts. They can be rearranged and set up however the client wishes. We have a performing arts center with a 700-seat theater, and we're attached to the Hudgens Museum for the Fine Arts. Now, we don't own that part of it, but we do have the right to rent space in there and have meetings and weddings and things of that nature down in the Hudgens Center. So it is approximately a 98-acre campus located right by the Chamber of Commerce building. And actually, the bricks and mortar are owned by the county. They help build it and fund it, as you well know. But we are operated by the board of the Gwinnett Convention and Visitors Bureau. And as such, our CEO is Preston Williams. And Joy Dennis is now the general manager of the complex, and we answer first to Preston and then to the board.
You mentioned located right next to the Chamber building. You're right there on Sugarloaf Parkway, Sugarloaf and Satellite Boulevard, right down the road from our studio here. I think everybody who works or lives in Gwinnett has been to the Gwinnett Center for something or another over the years, whatever the case may be.
It's amazing how many people still call and wonder where the convention center is, or they'll go to the arena, and there's still some confusion with it, but I think that a lot of people have spent time there, whether it's for a concert, a basketball game, a hockey game, whatever the event might be. And it's a very versatile facility because there's so many different uses for it and different groups using the facilities.
Absolutely. It's a diamond here in the in Gwinnett County. You are, Bill, the Business and Community Development Manager. What does that job entail?
Well, basically, my job is to sell our advertising spaces. We have the marquee along I-85 that I'm sure everybody is familiar with. And the purpose of that is to highlight upcoming events, let people know what's going on at the center. But in conjunction with that, we have building sponsors that also can purchase a package where their business logo and message is flashed up on the board. It rotates through 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And with the traffic on I-85, a lot of times they can sit there and watch the whole message. Or
fortunately or unfortunately. Unfortunately for the commuter, fortunately, I guess, for you.
Them. Yeah, and the traffic by there is heavy each day. It's approximately 190,000 people per day pass that sign. So it is great exposure for our business partners and for our upcoming events. We also have digital signage at the three entry points to the facility. We have our main entrance on Sugarloaf Parkway. We have a secondary entrance along Sugarloaf Parkway, and then the satellite entrance which gets you closer to the convention center and the performing arts center. And all three of those have digital signage. And again, we rotate upcoming events with current sponsors, and they run all day long, all year long.
And those partnerships that you obtain and that you service, I mean, those are a big part of operating the center, allowing the things to come to the building because you need that revenue. That's a big revenue stream for the Gwinnett Center.
2013 is the 10th year for the arena, the 20th year for the convention center and the performing arts center. So there's been a longevity to it. The county actually funded the initial construction and actually owns the property, but we are operated as a 501c3, a nonprofit group. So everything that is profit goes back into the facility for upkeep. As you can imagine, in a facility that big and trying to keep up with technology and carpeting and paint, it's a never-ending job to keep it as fresh as we do. And one of the main comments we hear from our people that utilize the building is what great shape it's in. Nobody can believe it's as old as it is, and all the different things that go on there.
That's a good point.
Bill, you mentioned when somebody thinks of the convention center and they think of the arena, I think they think big. They think big events. They think big expos coming to the convention center. Speak a little bit to some of the smaller business owners in Gwinnett County, both in advertising and also in events. What are some things that a small business owner with 50 employees or less might be able to take advantage of, both on events and advertising?
We do a number of things specifically in the convention center for business meetings. We have facilities where they can rent audiovisual technical type presentations they can make. Some companies will rent the Performing Arts Center to have annual awards ceremonies, graduations from high schools and colleges. We do a number of small meetings like that. We also do a number of holiday parties, and it's about time that everybody is starting to think of that. So if a company is having a holiday party and doesn't know where they're going to hold it, we can do that and take care of everything from the room to seating to the food to the audiovisual needs, and do it as a turnkey project for that company.
And you have on-site award-winning catering service there as well.
Yes, we work with several companies. Proof of the Pudding is our catering company. They do all of the food preparation, both in the arena and in the convention center. So they've done a great job with us. We recently renewed their contract, so they're with us for, I think it's 5 more years on this extension. And they've been the catering company since the building opened. So we're very pleased with that relationship. We also have a relationship with a company called Chosen that does all of the cleanup for all the events, whether it's in the arena or whether it's in the convention center. Then we have a full-time staff ourselves that set the rooms up, because it can be varied from classroom style to tables to a number of different ways each room can be set up, and the number of people in each group determines how it's set each week.
I think also you obviously oversee advertising there, and I think sometimes business owners might think, well, if I'm not advertising for the gladiators who play there, or if I'm not doing an expo that's there, I have no shot at doing any kind of advertising. Speak a little bit about what are some of the opportunities people have.
Well, as I said, we've got the I-85 marquee. We've got the three marquees at the entry points. Then in the building at the arena, we have not only static backlit concourse signs that are available to anyone for a yearly rental. We have the ribbon board, which is another digital item that, you know, we can put people on and off as they see fit. And recently, just this last spring, we invested in new boards for scoring for sporting events, but it also, prior to concerts, we'll put our upcoming events and our stadium or building sponsors up there and display their logos and things during any event that's held at the center. So we've got a number of different things. One of the things we're working on right now is to add charging stations for people's cell phones, for their iPads, for laptops, whatever they'd like. And we're hoping to have those installed within the next couple months.
Keeping up with the technology, of course, is very important.
I tell you, that is a major task because it doesn't matter how much bandwidth you have currently.
It's not enough.
The need is great, and it keeps expanding. So that is a big expense that we have to keep up with, or people will take their events other places, and we don't want that.
No, it's all part of the entertainment package. I mean, just one part of it, but a big part of the entertainment package when people go out as well.
One of the greatest examples of that, for the past several years, we've hosted the high school robotics championships for the state at the building. And when you have all these teams of high school seniors and juniors, and all of them have smartphones, all of them have iPads, all of them have laptops, and they're all sitting out in the lobby trying to fight over the electrical plugs to recharge their devices. So that's one of the main reasons we're trying to get these charging stations involved.
Steven, the Georgia Tech grad down there, is giggling about that.
I'm furiously writing notes on my notepad, not an iPad, a notepad, about how they need this for the arena. That's it. That's big
need. And Georgia Tech, actually, a couple of years ago when they were redoing their basketball arena, played all of their women's games in our arena, and I think five of the men's games were played there.
Yeah, I'm not sure if people realize the breadth of the scope of all the events that go on, not just at the Gwinnett Center, but the arena as well. What's the best way to find out what's going on for people that want to keep track of that?
www.gwinnettcenter.com. We will be unveiling a new website at that same address within the next couple of weeks, and it will have listings not only of upcoming events at the arena, which are many and varied, but also who's going to be at the convention center for what period of time and dates and things of that nature. So all of that is available there. We also have an app, if you will, for both Android and iPhones, where you can have that, and any updates or new announcements of upcoming shows and things are sent straight to your phone.
Again, keeping up with the technology. And I believe isn't there a club or something you can sign up for where you can get first notice about upcoming shows and maybe first crack at buying tickets?
Yes, there sure is. It is our Insiders group. And all you have to do is give us your email address, and then anytime there is announcements, for example, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra is going to be here either in late November or early December. And when we make that announcement of their on-sale ticket things, you would be one of the first ones to get that information, and you can actually put in your order for tickets before they go on sale to the general public.
Mike, I know you've probably had this experience that I have, and I think all of our people listening to this interview have probably had this experience. You're driving down 85 or you're driving down Sugarloaf, and you watch the screen, and you see an event that's coming up, and you go, wow, they're coming to Gwinnett? That's really cool. I mean, I can't count how many times that's happened. And now to meet Bill and realize that as a business owner, you can take advantage of that, of course, after that great, you know, insert picture here of who's coming, then your business could be the next one up there while you're sitting in traffic. That's a fantastic opportunity.
Well, and events that are unusual, we've got the Dalai Lama making a visit to the arena in the next month or so, and you know, who would have thunk that that would ever happen?
Well, the Gwinnett Center is, and especially the arena, has been nationally recognized. And you mentioned the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. You've had a lot of acts that when they come to Atlanta, they don't go downtown. They come to the Gwinnett Center because of the people, the customer service. The free parking is a huge thing. You don't see that almost anywhere.
That's probably the most commented on part of the whole organization. We have 4,000 ground marked parking spots. and then another 1,000 in our parking ramp that's adjacent to the arena. So occasionally it will fill the parking lot, but very seldom. And the in and out is remarkably easy when you have 10,000 people at an event to get in and out and, you know, be able to do it in a reasonable period of time.
I think we can both attest to that, Stephen and I, because there's been times where you have a major event going on at the arena and several events going on at the same time at the Gwinnett Center, and the flow of traffic is still flowing.
You know, especially as we're coming into the holiday time of year, the performances of the Nutcracker Suite and things that are going on in the Performing Arts Center. This summer, for the first time, we held a film festival, which was Selena Branstetter on our staff. It was her brainchild, and she and one of her associates worked night and day to get this, but we offered an opportunity for aspiring filmmakers to show their films. We had all kinds of different things. It opened up with Mike Glenn, the former NBA star with the Atlanta Hawks, who incidentally went to Southern Illinois University, which is near and dear to me.
Oh, I got a plug in for his school. Well done. Well done.
Yeah. And Mike's film, he's got one. They hold basketball camps for the hearing impaired. And it was a very interesting film, and enjoyed watching that.
Probably would have been easier to ask Bill what events are not happening at the Gwinnett Center.
Mike, you stole my question. You stole my question. I was going to say, Bill, you're a 501c3, clearly gives back to the community. You're the jewel on Sugarloaf Parkway and probably in all of Gwinnett County. There's all these things you've done with schools, with organizations, with acts, with business expos. You work closely with the chamber. As business and community development manager, is there anything that the Gwinnett Center has not done that you're trying to do?
Yes, there are several things, and one of those is to have a full-service hotel on campus. And we have a proposal in front of the county commissioners right now, and if it's approved, we will start moving forward with a developer to put a 300-room full-service Marriott on campus.
Wow.
And if that happens, that would also enable us to possibly enlarge our exhibit hall space, which would allow us to have bigger conventions, bigger trade shows, and those kind of things. And quite frankly, it's needed because I mentioned the robotics championship. We actually are losing that to the Georgia World Congress Center because of the size. We just couldn't accommodate all the things that they need. So there are things on the wish list. There are things on the, 5-year plan, 10-year plan, all of those type things. And a lot of dominoes have to fall before they all get there. But we are looking to keep improving, keep enlarging, trying to serve the public as best we can.
Bill Blackwell is our guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Bill is with the Gwinnett Center. He's the Business and Community Development Manager. And we've talked about a lot of the sponsorships and advertising opportunities there at the Gwinnett Center. And Bill is well versed in that because of his background. And Stephen, you don't know this. I actually met Bill back in the early 90s in single-A baseball. I think you were in Columbia, South Carolina. Yep. I was coming over with the Greensboro team. And so talk about your background because, I mean, you've taken care of business partners and sponsors for most of your life.
Well, that's true. Out of college, my degree was in radio and television. Worked for about a year at a cable. At that time, they thought local origination on cable systems was going to be a big thing. So worked there until they finally pulled the plug because we were struggling to get advertising and things on the station. From there, I went to a local radio station in Springfield, Illinois, was part of the sales team, and also did sign-on shift with sports news, and then would go back in the sales office, and in the evenings, if we had a baseball, basketball, or football game, which we did year-round, you'd take off, go cover that, and come back, and then be in there at 6 o'clock the next morning to do the news. So did that for 8 years and had a gentleman call up and say that he had just bought a minor league baseball team, and did I have any interest in interviewing to become his general manager? And I'm going, well, I don't know much about it. And my wife said, well, the only part of your job you ever talk about is the baseball coverage. We were lucky enough to have the Cardinals AAA team in town and be one of their broadcasters. So I went and interviewed and ended up taking the job. Spent 7 years in Columbia, South Carolina, running a Class A team for the Mets. Moved to Jackson, Mississippi to run the Mets AA team. The Mets stayed with us for 3 or 4 years, and then we affiliated with the Houston Astros. Was with the Astros for 9 years. And then the team was sold to Nolan Ryan, who was moving it to Round Rock, Texas. I went on to Greensboro, your old home stomping grounds. Ran the team there for 2 years and was offered the opportunity to take over the Charlotte franchise in the International League, a AAA club. Ran that for 4 years, then joined the Braves in Richmond for 3 years, moved to Gwinnett when the team did, of course, and my responsibilities included watching over the construction and working as a liaison between the team and the construction company as Cool Ray Field was built. From there, got the opportunity to go to the Gwinnett Center and have been there almost 2.5 years now.
I'm worn out just listening to that.
Man.
It just shows I'm old.
I was going to say you started when you were 10. So,
Bill, we appreciate your time very much. Thank you for joining us here on Gwinnett Business Radio. For those businesses leaders out there that might want to find out more information about sponsorships or those people just want to know more about the Gwinnett Center, where can they turn to? What's the best way to reach you?
Well, all of our emails and phone numbers are listed on our website. Again, that's www.gwinnettcenter.com. You know, they can contact us that way. You know, I'm constantly out networking, whether it's through chamber events, whether it's through their business after hours program or other speakers and things that they do. Gwinnett businesses make up the majority of our partners, and we try to design packages for those specific people and see what areas, you know, some companies, if they're business to business, may not need their name up on the I-85 sign where somebody else may want that exposure. So we design it depending on who the client is and what their needs and wants are, and go from there, and very easy to find.
So, yeah, if you can't find Bill Blackwell, you're just not looking then. He's at all the events. So, Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Great to have you. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio is Jess Viegas. He's with Leading Concepts Group. Good morning, Jess.
Hi, good morning, Mike.
Tell us a little about your company, Leading Concepts Group. What does your company do?
So Leading Concepts Group is an organizational development business consulting company. That is kind of anchored in about three tenets of the business consulting process. The first one is assisting businesses to develop organizational health to improve the overall performance of the business. It's also focused on developing leadership, not only sort of at the traditional level. You know, typically when you bring in leadership, you're talking to all the CEOs and the management, but it also is indicative of trying to train leaders at the middle management and floor level. So I think the mantra there is that you can segregate people into followers and leaders, and of course that you have that generally speaking. But on a more fundamental level, I kind of like to think of the general workforce as kind of self-leaders who are just engaged in a purpose with the mission of the company. And then finally, it is involved in strategic design and alignment of that strategic design with the business models of small to medium-sized companies.
Jess, talk about your background. I know you're from the California, and you're now here in Gwinnett County. What brought you to Gwinnett County? Take us through those steps.
Okay, so I'm originally from California. Pretty much all my career in California was as a financial division controller guy. Had about 10 years of experience in California. Had an opportunity to move to Gwinnett County in 1991 to become the controller at a packaging company in Lawrenceville. And I took that responsibility with the opportunity that I might be able to evolve into some other parts of the business, primarily in the operations side of the business. So that was 22 years ago, and at the time brought my wife and my my son and daughter with us. So that's since 1991.
Now, I was talking to, you know, with Bill and his background of working with sponsors over the years. You kind of had an accounting-type background. How does that mesh with the focus of what your company does now?
Well, since the accounting background, I like to say to people that I actually moved to Gwinnett County for the purposes of getting out of accounting. I actually have said to many people that accounting for me is like California. I like being from California, but I don't want to live there. So hopefully I don't offend anybody. But the other thing is that I like being from the accounting because I think it's important to understand the financial mechanisms of a business. But that's not where I want to live. I'd really rather get more involved in the operation side of the business. So since the accounting position, I've had roles as an operations manager, VP of operations, and also director of new business development. And what I've tried to do is leverage that entire business experience to then try and anchor the organizational development that I'm trying to do in that business background.
So, Jess, you said that there were three main areas: the development of the organizational health, development of the leadership, and kind of strategic design of the business. Take me through a business owner who might not realize they need your services.
Okay.
What are some signs and symptoms that they need to be looking for, and then say, okay, I need to talk to somebody like Jess.
Okay, so I think the first thing that a business owner might do is say to themselves, that if they've invested money in infrastructure, equipment, capital, training programs, all matter of things that are all necessary to run a good, effective business, and it's still not working as well, then there's something missing. And possibly what's missing is whether that organization is working well together. And it's not necessarily a judgmental process where you say, look, you've done all these great things, it's still not working, what's your problem? It's really a recognition of the fact that for an organization to work well, all the members of that organizational system should have an understanding of the dynamics of the process they're in. And in order to do that, they have to become sort of more aware of what their potential contributions would be. And if they are able to do that, become more aware, they become more positive about their role, and then they can be more impactful in the organization's results.
We're talking with Jess Villegas. He's the principal and founder of Leading Concepts Group here in Gwinnett County. Jess, something that's not a secret, there's a lot of consulting firms and consulting companies out there. What makes yours different? What makes yours a little unique?
So I think a little unique, I think, is the operative word, because I think that generally the mission of all consulting companies, and particularly organizational development, is that they all are really well-intentioned. They believe that they have an understanding and an idea about how to run a business and how to make it run better. And so I'm not going to try and discern whether that intent is better than my intent. The way I'd like to frame it is that I believe that I have a niche that I can address that goes down more fundamentally to what a system's or what an organization's difficulties might be. And I think there's sometimes when it's appropriate where you sort of apply a topical solution to a problem that can respond to a topical solution. However, in the group of services that I offer and that my counterparts offer, has to do more with fundamentally getting down to the fact that if your business is not operating well and you think you've done everything, then the last thing is, how do you inspire your individuals? How do you inspire kind of the most powerful unit of influence and of power within an organization? And it's going to be teams working well together, all caring about very similar things, and that's a difficult thing to get to.
So, Jess, where do you start with someone when they come to you? What's the first meeting or first few meetings like? Where are you trying to start with everybody?
Generally, it's going to be an understanding of some type of organizational diagnosis. I think very often individuals like me, if we're not careful, like to prescribe all types of solutions without understanding what the real issues are. And that's kind of hard work to do that because if you're like most consultants, they have an ego that says, you've brought me in. Obviously, you want to hear what I have to say, but it's actually a little more difficult and a lot more intentional to say, you've brought me in. I think I have a set of skills that might apply to what you need here. Let's understand what your circumstances are as thoroughly as we can, and then let's see if we can have an intersection of my skill set with your concerns and see if we can make something occur.
Is there a typical time frame you work with companies, or I guess it varies depending on their needs? I mean, whether maybe months or a year, I guess everybody has a different need.
They do, and a lot of it is a function of the size of the company, but actually more appropriately it tends to be the intensity of the concern. So if you could have a very small company and you might have a company that runs relatively well but might run better except for the 10 people in that company who are all five of them family members maybe just don't get along. So they might earn a lot of money, but they're leaving a lot of money on the table because they're just not operating effectively. So that might require that things like that are not a fix. That tends to involve coaching, tends to involve helping people understand how they're how without personalizing every single situation that they're involved in, how they can understand how they're contributing possibly to the ineffectiveness of the organization, and then taking responsibility for trying to improve it.
You talked a little bit about the niche that you're trying to be the leader in for what you do. You also, in your background, worked with a packaging company. So my question is, are there certain types of businesses that fit better with you? Are there certain types of businesses that you look at from the 50,000-foot view and say, man, this sector of the economy, these types of businesses, a lot of them need services that I can offer?
You know, I think for what I'm trying to provide, typically I'd like to think that my services would work well everywhere. However, most of my business background is pretty well entrenched on the manufacturing side. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I attended a movie screening last night of a movie called American Made Movie that I think was made by some local local students from the past. And essentially they were highlighting what are the proper, in their view, what would be the appropriate steps to try and keep manufacturing or bring more manufacturing back to the United States. And, of course, in this movie, highlighted Gwinnett County a little bit, and so maybe more typically to Georgia and Gwinnett County. What I found is I might want to consult with Google and Microsoft, but it may be more appropriate for me to think about manufacturing companies, particularly in the packaging industry, mostly because that's my background. But I also have background in working with lawn and garden companies in terms of having been a president for a lawn and garden company for a while. I was also a VP of operations for a pet products company. So I think all of those combined say, well, I can at least claim to have a diverse set of skills that are appropriate across many industries.
Jess Villegas with Leading Concepts Group. Jess, where do you see your company growing? Where do you see your company in, say, 5 years from now?
There are sort of two dynamics going on. One is the environment here in Gwinnett County, and I really enjoyed listening to Bill because I've actually been able to partake of a lot of the very fantastic goings-on over at the Gwinnett Center. I was part of the graduation ceremony that was there, which is fantastic, and it seems like I'm spending a lot of time at that center. And I, too, am one of those individuals who have said I didn't really know all this was here. So I want to really highlight the fact that at a recent luncheon for the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce, they highlighted the fact that there are a lot of very small businesses in Gwinnett County. And I believe that because there are so many small businesses and because you're only going to be limited in terms of your ability to retain really, really expensive consulting help, that perhaps I could develop an opportunity to help all those companies at that level.
Jess, it's been said that the best advertising is a good testimonial. Mm-hmm. I would imagine the way you come in and the way you help people, there's probably a few good stories of businesses that after working with you, they can kind of say, wow, we can see tangible results. Any stories you want to share?
Yeah, I can. There are a couple things I could refer to. I've worked with several companies that have required very, very quick action. And, of course, that's very typical. People always want very quick action. What I've been fortunate to do is one of the companies I've worked with on and off as a consultant and also as an employee is that because I've already had a lot of trust built up, I was able for me to come back at intervals and start doing things very, very quickly in order to drive results. The thing is that not everyone in the world can say I've come and gone from a company two or three times and I've already built trust, which means that you have to build trust very, very quickly. And so I would say that most of the success that I have had has been around building trust very, very quickly, not only in terms of trying to be a good, solid citizen, but also trying to be skilled in what I do, because skill without the competence doesn't work very well.
Now, Stephen, there's a connection between Jess and one of our former guests. Jess received his master's degree from the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. Oh, I was hoping I'd get it right, and I messed it up again.
Messed it up.
Yeah, osteopathic medicine. Pecan. Of course, we've had a representative from there before.
Absolutely.
They have a Georgia campus here in Gwinnett County. Talk about your decision to go back to school, get your master's degree, and your experience there at the school.
Well, very, very, at a very, very, very young age, many years ago, I had an uncle who recognized that I was on a track to get a philosophy degree that wasn't going to do very well at feeding my young wife. So he put me onto the accounting side of things. But I always had sort of this love of trying to learn things and understand things. I've always had a propensity to try and be a good teacher. So I thought someday I would go back and try and get more education to do that. What happened is, simultaneously to building my business background, I started becoming very, very immersed in different theories around leadership and management. Started giving some talks as a community service around Gwinnett County to kind of build up my chops on that. But I didn't have a real formal training beyond – I have a BS in management. But beyond that, I had a lot of concepts that I was having difficulty expressing. So it's like most people. They have these very intuitive things they know they want to say, but it's difficult to say, so you need a vehicle. I finally decided that I was going to get a master's in something related to those, and so it just so happened that my father-in-law, who graduated from the Philadelphia campus of osteopathic medicine, that's actually in Philadelphia, back in 1939 or so, somehow between that and the fact that my wife happened to catch the ad in the paper, I just looked into the program. The program, the reason I like this particular program is that the management side and the leadership and development side kind of emulates the whole philosophy around the medicine, which is holistic and tends to be more inclusive of all the things that are going on in the system as opposed to trying to solve a very, very specific thing. So I like the holistic nature of the program.
Great. And you said it well, and I practiced it and still messed it up.
Well, I think that goes back to one of his points, that you have a lot of things and a lot of concepts,
yes,
but having a hard time delivering it.
Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine.
That's better.
That's better.
That's
still
better.
Still not there, though.
Jess, one other question for you. You know, we talked a little bit about testimonials. Apart from word of mouth, is there other ways that you're trying to build your business, other ways you're trying to get connected with business owners? What are some ways you're finding your clients?
Okay, so the way I'm doing that is I'm trying to develop an organization that's going to be a little bit different than the more traditional, strategic sort of way that you do companies, where you've got all the bricks and mortar and you've got all these very entrenched infrastructure things trying to support your business. I have developed a very, very I was going to say extremely large, but it's not extremely large, but it's extremely competent in terms of individuals that I've worked with who I call on to assist me, either to assist me with projects or that I can give referrals to. So we're essentially contracting and expanding to the needs of the client, and I want to maintain that flexibility in order to keep costs under control and also to stay very, very relevant to whatever the issues of the day are in terms of organizational development. That network is diverse, and so they're bringing leads. They're bringing ideas about how we're going to stay very, very relevant in the organization development field.
So, as a consultant, not only do you just come in and opine poetically, yeah, you bring a lot of power behind you. You bring a lot of solutions, and you listen, and then can prescribe what's needed beyond your scope.
Yes, I walk in, and in my head, I'm opining very, very poetically. And I do a lot of that at home. But when you're out there at the organization, you start with, I know some things, but I don't know everything. I need to pay attention. And by the way, sometimes paying attention isn't saying I'm going to listen to. It's also getting the right person in front of that person to say, this person's going to hear more of what you're saying because they understand you better than I will. You have to have that capability because no one person has all the answers.
Jess Villegas with Leading Concepts Group, the principal and founder, has been our guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio. For those business owners or business leaders or anybody else that might be listening that would like to find out more, maybe check into your services, what's the best way to find out more and what's the best way to reach you?
Okay, so I'm one of these gentlemen who's just, was born a million years ago, so I'm trying to avail myself of all the social network. And apparently there's something called a website. And so on the
I've
website,
heard of that.
So on that website, the website is www.leadingconceptsgroup.com, and then there's that connects to other Facebook things and all those things that
so,
I can't remember.
So we come to you for a lot of things, not necessarily for our technology.
Not technology,
but you got someone in your
network.
Now
that you said that, I'm jotting down that I have to get someone in my network for
there
that.
You go.
Yeah, thank you.
You're not alone, by the way, when it comes to the technology.
I'm writing
stuff.
Your information down on my notepad, by the way.
Jess, thank you so much for your time. Great to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Jess Villegas, the principal and founder with Leading Concepts Group, joining us here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Also a big thank you to Bill Blackwell, the Business and Community Development Manager with the Gwinnett Center. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of these programs 24/7 by logging on to GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. For Steve and Julian.
Mike, if you continue to opine poetically, your face too will show up on the Gwinnett Center signage one day.
You always seem to impress me, Stephen. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.